Good morning, church. We thank God that in this month of June, we have this series on stewardship. Okay, and just to recap, our first speaker was actually our camp retreat speaker. He spoke here on the first Sunday of June, Reverend Dr. Samuel Goh. He spoke on a journey of stewardship. And we are reminded that each one of us are uniquely blessed. Each one of us is blessed. All of us are blessed in one way or another. And our blessings are unique only to us. Okay? Which means that don't need to compare. Huh? Okay? Don't need to covet and be greedy about other people's blessings too, right? So we have a unique blessing and we are to steward our blessing because it is a responsibility that is given to us. Why does God bless us? God bless us so that we can be a blessing to others and to the nations. We don't really own our blessings. We are just stewarding God's blessing, and that is our God-given responsibility. And then we took another 3 weeks to unpack stewarding our treasures, our time, and our talents. Remember that? And that is not all. Today, we are going to look at stewarding our tithes. One area that we often overlook is the stewardship of our ties, and by that we mean our relationships. How do we care for the people that God has placed in your life? Who has God placed in your life? As I was thinking about it, the family that we are placed in, that is who God placed in my life. The school that I attended, that is my classmates, my teachers, those are people that God has placed in my life. The companies, the organization that you are serving in, God has placed those relationships in your life. The church that you belong to, the DG that you belong to, God has placed those relationships in your lives. Those of us who have hobbies, if you are a badminton player, if you are a racer, if you are whatever, golfer, if you go market every day and you meet a group of people, that is your hobby, going to market, marketing. Those are relationships that God has placed in your life. If you drink coffee with a group of friends, those are relationships that God has placed in your life. It does not happen by chance, isn't it? Yes, some of those relationships we choose, but others we have no say, just like our family members. All our relationships doesn't happen by chance. They are all orchestrated by God Himself, and we have a responsibility to steward all these relationships. As I was studying Colossians chapter 3, it's very interesting how the Apostle Paul puts it. Okay, so if we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, I shall read this for us. If you want, you can open your Bibles to that, either physical Bible or open your Bible app. Okay, your Bible app in your phone, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. And actually, Paul frames it such a way that it is a wardrobe. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. 14 says, and over all these virtues put on love which binds them all together in unity. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, Paul gives us, or God gives us, a wardrobe of virtues for maintaining strong and healthy relationships. Relationships are very fragile. Is it true? Generally, I have very good relationships with all of us. I hope you say the same when it comes to me as well. I have a good relationship with my pastor. But last Saturday, as I was preparing this sermon, I was also tasked by my family member to send out invitation. Invitation to what? My daughter's wedding, end of August. It is a happy occasion for me, right? At the same time, it is a very stressful occasion for me. You know why? Because I was thinking to myself, must I invite the whole church? And not just this church, you know? Because I've pastored two other churches before I pastored QBC. Must I also invite them? Must I invite everyone I know? And if I don't invite them, will they feel hurt? Will they unfriend me? QBC, I know you're better than that, right? Maybe it's just my overthinking. I hope that and pray that it's my overthinking, because after the wedding, I come to you and ask you, can you serve in this or that? You okay? Cannot, la, pastor, not free anymore. Because I wasn't invited to your daughter's wedding, you know. That is how fragile relationships are. You can do 20 years of good deeds, but you offend the person just one time. The person will remember only that one time and forget your 20 years of happy relationship. True? That is how fragile relationships are. The Bible is a practical book. In Colossians chapter 3, there are tools that are given for us for relational stewardship. Okay, so the first one, we must recognize who we are. What's your identity? Who are you? Okay, and we are stewards. Verse 12 begins with this: therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We steward relationships based on who we are, not just what we do. So who are you? You are chosen of God. God handpicked you. He headhunted you and He singled you out. That is chosen. Out of the millions out there, God chose you. God chose to save you. Jesus chose to die for you. And the Holy Spirit chose to indwell you specifically. You are handpicked by God. God chose you to be in your specific family of origin. You know, when I was a teenager, I often asked myself and I asked God this, God, why must I be born into this family? Why must my parents be my parents? Why must I have this person as my brother? Why must I have this person as my sister? Why must I be here? Some teenagers are feeling that way. Some adults are still feeling that way. God, why must you give me this as my child, this person? Why can't my child be like my neighbor's child? Right? Your family is chosen by God. I didn't choose to be born in a particular family. That is not God's plan. God chose you to attend a particular school or university. It is not by chance. The course that you are in, the coursemates that you have, God chose you to be in your organization, the people whom you are working with. God chose you to be in QBC. God even chose your social life. Yes, some of these choices we made ourselves, but whatever choices we make, God either allowed it or He made it happen. We are not here by chance. Since it is God who chose us, He must have a purpose, and we must be set apart for His purposes. Ask yourself this question. What is God's purpose for me in my family? What is God's purpose for me in the course that I'm taking? What is God's purpose for me to be in QBC, in a particular DG? What is God's purpose for me in my organization? Friends, surely it is more than just making dollars and cents. It is surely just more than bringing up your children. It is more. What is it? What is that purpose? That is a very important question, because unless and until we know that, we can't fulfill God's purpose and we cannot find meaning. So if you are looking for a job, perhaps it is good for you to begin with prayer and ask God to lead and direct you. If you are thinking of changing jobs, perhaps it is a time for you, a second chance or third chance for you to get a reset and find God's purpose for you. God has a purpose for you and I because we are dearly loved by God. You are treasured. The world may not treasure you. Your social group, your friends may not treasure you. Your family may not treasure you. Your church may not treasure you. What is important for us to hear is this: God treasures you. You are the apple of God's eye. You are precious to God. You are God's treasure. How much does God treasure you? Enough to send His only begotten Son to die for you, in exchange for you. That is how much God values you. And God values you because you represent God. Without us, without the church, how is the world, or how are the world? How does the world know who is God? How does your child know who is your God? When they look at your life, when the world looks at the church, the world will know who is God. When your child looks at your life, your child will know who is your God. We are God's representative. So this is why we need to steward our tithes and to steward it well. We reflect God, just like a royal ambassador reflects and represents his country. Every action the ambassador takes, how they speak, how they treat others, or even how they dress, reflects their identity as a representative of their country. Likewise, brothers and sisters, Christians, children of God, how we treat others reflect our identity in Christ. In your relationships, I know not every relationship is pleasant and easy because we are all broken. We ourselves are broken. The people that we relate with are broken people. When you remember that you are dearly loved by God, it gives you the extra capacity for you to love others. Even when it is difficult. We are new creation in God. We put off our old self and we put on our new self. We put on God. It is like a wardrobe makeover. I have returned back to my old wardrobe because I have put on what I lost. But when I lost weight, I had to go and visit my tailor because my pants were all dropping. I'm not joking. I lost so much weight that you look at Pastor Isaac, right? You know, you notice that he went to his tailor recently because maybe last month or the month before, his pants was very loose, right? You know, when that happens, we need a new wardrobe. And the same comes with knowing Christ. When you become a child of God, you are a new creation, you know. You have lost weight, you know. And you are now trimmer, you are healthier in your relating to others. And you need a new wardrobe. And you put on new clothing. None of us, having bathed, put on our old clothes, right? After you bathe, you put on a new set of clothing. After you have been bathed spiritually, when you have come to know Jesus, after you have been baptized, you put on new clothing. And that's why we need new attire. The attire of the stewards. Second part of verse 12 says, clothe yourself. That's where the idea of wardrobe and clothing came. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We are told to put on these virtues like putting on clothes. Why? Because we are prone to walk out of the door spiritually undressed or dressed in our old clothing. We must intentionally put on our new clothing. Otherwise, we become reactive, we become impatient, we become self-centered and self-loving. It is like a change of attire after we have been baptized and washed clean. We put on Christ. We have a new identity. We put on the attire of stewards. Talking about stewards, air stewardess now come to mind. The Singapore girl. You know, whenever I travel, I fly back on Singapore Airlines, I am very happy. Because the moment I step on board, I see the Singapore girl. You know, I always order the laksa. I can't wait to be home. Right? The food that they serve, so comforting. But thinking about the Singapore girl, once they put on that uniform, they have to carry themselves well and to project an image and represent Singapore well. So you won't find the Singapore girl outside Changi Airport smoking in uniform, right? You won't see the Singapore girl squeezing in the MRT or on the bus, right? You won't find the Singapore girl cursing in Hokkien. Why? Because they have to represent the company and represent the country. As God's steward, we are to put on the attire of God's steward. So let us briefly unpack this. We are to put on, first of all, compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is feeling what others feel. That is compassion. We are to put on kindness. What is kindness? Kindness is doing good when it is not deserved. That is kindness. When you are kind to me, I am kind back to you. That is not kindness. When you treat me badly and I'm kind to you, that is kindness. We are to put on humility. What is humility? Choosing others above ourselves. That is humility. Otherwise, we think of ourselves too highly, right? And then everything is about me. The world must revolve around me. My idea is the best idea because it is the most correct idea. And everybody must listen to me. That is not very humble. We are to put on gentleness. What is gentleness? Gentleness does not mean you walk around with a soft wrist. Gentleness means power under control. That is gentleness. We are to put on patience. What is patience? Patience is delaying frustration for the sake of unity. When someone cuts into your lane, are you patient or are you impatient? You delay that frustration for the sake of unity. Ask yourself this. In this list, which virtue do you need to put on this week in your closest relationship? I intentionally say closest relationship. Why? Because we treat others that we do not know or acquaintances very well. Right? We are very courteous to them. We are very civil to them. We are very patient with them, right? If you do not know them very well. But to those who are closest to us, we do not pull punches, right? We can be ourselves and we become rude. We take one another for granted. We shout at one another instead of being gentle, right? So in your closest relationship, which one of these virtues do you need to put on this week? The closest relationships are those relationships that matters most to you. You know, sometimes I beat myself up. I say, why I treat others so well and I treat those closest to me so badly? Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be the other way around? That I treat those closest to me better than I treat my church members, than I treat acquaintances, than I treat those that I see on the road, those who serve me. Friends, treat those closest to you well. Because they matter to you. Steward that tie well. Is it easy? Surely not easy, right? But we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. Corrie ten Boom, very famous person, a Holocaust survivor, once met one of her former Nazi guards who ill-treated her. After preaching a message on forgiveness, so she preached on forgiveness and then as she walked down the stage, she met this former Nazi guard. He extended his hand for a handshake. She hesitated. She didn't want to take that hand. But as she prayed silently in her heart, she was filled with compassion And she took his hand and shook his hand. That is wearing the right attire even when it is uncomfortable. Thereafter, she said this, forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless. I say that again. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless. We have a new identity. We are to put on the attire of the stewards. So let us practice. Okay, let us practice that. The practice of the stewards. In verse 13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Every relationship involves friction. There will be conflict if you have a relationship. If there's no friction, there's no conflict, you do not have a relationship. That means you order your food, I serve you, that's my job done. There's no relationship. But in every other relationship, when you have a relationship, there will be conflict, there will be friction. Think about your friendships. After the getting to know you phase, right? After the phase, you will then get irritated. Why this person always late? Right? Or why this person always eat spicy food when I cannot eat spicy? Right? After when you first get to know each other, it's okay lah. Right? One time, two time, five time, 10 time, it's okay. I can give in, right? I can always wait for you. But after the 10 time, you decide whether you still want to maintain this relationship or not. Right or not? Because there's conflict. We must get past that conflict to develop deeper relationship. Bear with each other. Bear with means tolerate, endure, carry one another's burden. That is bear with one another. And then forgive means release that offense. It doesn't mean that you forget that offense, okay? That's called dementia. But you can release the offense. Release the offense. That means that offense doesn't bother you anymore. Why must we do that? Whose standard are you using? Is it reciprocal? Because you forgive me, therefore I must forgive you. Every relationship is the same. So I'm going to share something about my life. Okay, you know, as I often pick up my wife from her work. She's smiling already. She knows what's coming. And I always tell her, you know, you let me know when you are ready. Okay? So she say, come and pick me now. I say, okay, ETA this time, okay? And my ETA, very accurate one. Plus, minus 1 minute. Okay? Because I use Waze. the app, the GPS app Waze. Very accurate one. Okay? And I'm there plus, minus 1 minute. And her office car park, okay, I'm not going to mention the office building, but her office car park is in town. Cannot wait one. Because you wait, the driver behind will get very angry. And then you'll cause a traffic jam. Okay? And her car park is very narrow. Okay? Those days, I think they built for small cars. But these days, one car go up, one car come down, is also very challenging. And many, many turns. Okay? I don't like to go up that building. But I always tell her, you ready, you let me know. I go there, I pick you, we go back. Very simple, right? But it's not as simple as that, you know. Every time I go there, I have to wait for her. I have to text her. I even make friends with the security already, you know. And then sometimes I have to go and make rounds, you know. And then sometimes she come up the car, she say, you just arrived, right? I say, no lah, this one my fifth round. I get irritated, right? One time, two time, dating still okay lah, right? First year of marriage, second year of marriage, okay lah. Try after 30 years of marriage. Sometimes I don't want to talk already, you know. Just drive home, eat dinner, and that's it. Don't want to talk. No point talking already, right? You bear with one another, and then you forgive one another. This is my chance of getting back at her, lah. Forgive one another. She irritate me, I also got irritate her one. You all find me very funny, right? She find me very irritating. Because the joke that you all hear, she hear for 30 years already. Say, can you keep quiet or not? Stop talking. Not funny. We must learn to bear with one another, forgive one another. A man once came to see a pastor, not me. And this person said, I just cannot forgive my father. Pastor, you don't understand. My father ruined my family because of his extramarital affair. And ever since then, there's so much hurt. The family is no longer the same as before. The pastor replied after a long pause. And the pastor said something like this. Then you haven't fully grasped how much God has forgiven you. Forgiveness isn't saying that what happened is okay. A sin is a sin. Forgiveness is saying, I won't hold it over you anymore. I don't demand justice from you anymore. Is there someone you need to forgive? Not because the person deserves it, but because you have been forgiven. How much have we been forgiven? If you have been forgiven much, you will forgive others too. When we offended God, God didn't send us fire, brimstone, open the ground, swallow us up. He didn't make us live a miserable life so that you suffer long, long. That is not God. When we offended God, God made the first move. He sent His Son to die for us. If you offend me, I won't kill my son for you. You understand that? If I have offended you, will you give up your child to forgive me? No. But God did that. That is how much He has forgiven you. Why did He do that? So that He can fix that broken relationship with you. Because He loves you. That is the priority of the stewards. Verse 14 says, and over all these virtues, all those virtues, right? Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. Love is like the jacket, you know, over all the clothing. Love is like the overcoat. Love binds up all the other virtues together. Without love, compassion becomes pity. Without love, kindness becomes performance. Without love, humility becomes deceitful pride. Without love, gentleness becomes restraint without purpose. Without love, patience becomes tolerance. Without love, all these virtues are powerless. Without love, compassion becomes pity. How many times have you walked past someone who is in need? Or someone came to your table while you're having lunch at the hawker center and tries to sell you tissue paper? And then you have compassion. Right? But without love, it is just pity. Without love, kindness becomes just performance. Why? Because I have to be kind, so that I won't be judged by others. I just perform for you. Without love, humility becomes deceitful pride. In our culture, it is so common, right? We are actually very proud people, but we appear so humble. True or not? That's true of me. I'm a very proud person, but I appear humble. No lah, no lah. I very stupid one. Deceitful pride. Gentleness becomes restraint without purpose. When you see injustice, you keep quiet. Gentleness becomes restraint without purpose. Instead of saying it, patience becomes just tolerance if it is without love. We need love to thread our compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience together. It is like a quilt made of different pieces of fabric. So if you imagine your pieces of fabric as compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, it is threaded together by love. Love holds it all together. Love is not just a feeling. Love is a choice to will the good of others above ourselves. That is love. I say that again. Love is the choice to will the good of others above ourselves. Think of others above yourself. That is love. In your relationships, think of it that way. The good of others, that is love. If you're still thinking about yourself, that is not love. That is self-love. And we ask ourselves this question, who is God calling you to love with action, not just words? Which relationship must you love with action, not just words? Why? We have a new identity. We put on the attire of stewards. We practice forgiveness. And we prioritize love. In conclusion, we must steward the ties that matter. We are not just called to keep the peace. We are called to make peace. Make peace is different from just keeping peace. We are not just called to avoid breaking ties. We are called to steward them to nurture the ties and to redeem them. That is how the world will see Christ in us, where we steward our ties well. I want to give us some time to respond by reflecting, by reaching out, and by repenting. Invite the worship team to come forward and ask ourselves this question: who in your life feels neglected, broken off, or forgotten? Who have you written off from your life? Who do you need to forgive? I give us a minute to reflect. I suspect you do not need 1 minute. You already know a few names in your head. We must reach out. Call the person, write to that person, send a text to that person. Just say hello. How are you? Just that. It's as simple as that. And wait for the person to respond. And then invite that person for a meal or a drink. Perhaps you're asking, Pastor, why must I make the first move? The answer is very simple, right? Because God made the first move. We have been forgiven and we must forgive. We must steward our ties well because we represent God. If you find it difficult and struggle, repent. Ask God to forgive any areas where you have failed as a steward. And ask Him for another chance for you to do better. So pray for that person and then reach out. I give you a minute to pray to the Lord. Father, thank you for making us your chosen, holy, and beloved people. Teach us to love others as you have loved us. Give us compassion, patience, and the courage to forgive. Help us to put on love above all things, so that our relationships will reflect your glory. Lord, continue to journey together with us as we steward our time, our talents, our treasures, and our ties for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.